All right, James chapter 4, verse 13. Are y'all there? Some of you are. All right, I've talked about this subject a lot. I mention it pretty often. I've never, that I can think of, just preached on this subject, but we're going to this morning. We're going to try to be short. We got a nursing home service this afternoon that we didn't mention a while ago. Also, remember the prayer breakfast next Saturday. We're planning on that. And also, we're going to have to start thinking about having a work day here sometime soon, trying to clean up some of this mess. Blew all the wood chips all over the place, and blew the sign out, and blew the roof off of the house over there, so shingles laying all over the parking lot here, so need to try to pick up some of it, I guess, and pull the pieces back together. All right, James chapter 4, verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I always insert that, and you know, a lot of my kids can tell you that this is true. They'll tell me they're going to do such and such, and I said, you should say, the Lord willing. Did you ever tell anybody that? And they'd say, well, Lord willing or not, I'm going to do it. Well, that's what we're talking about here this morning. That's what we're going to deal with here for just a little bit. All right, Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good Sunday school lesson. Thank you for the good songs we've sang together. Thank you for this precious time that we can be together in the house of God. Lord, pray you'd help us to appreciate it, to count it as the blessing that it is. One day, we'll look back on these days as good memories and precious times. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to realize that today and not miss it while we're so occupied with the cares of life. Help us, Lord, in this message. I pray you'd help these thoughts to find a place in our thinking and stay there. And help us to say it right in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a spirit or a way of thinking and looking at life and dealing with life that's being dealt with here, and it's being condemned. You shouldn't do this. This is the thing I'm going to talk about first. There's something here that he's saying you shouldn't do. Go to now, ye that say, well, tomorrow I'm going to go to a certain city and I'm going to buy and sell. I'm going to stay there a year and I'm going to make so much money. And then after that, we'll see what I'll do. Yeah, that's right. That's the point. You know, for what is your life? What are you doing thinking like that? Acting like there is no God. Acting like he don't matter. He's got no say in it. He's got no input in it. He has no control over it. You're going to live forever. You're invincible, immortal, infinitely strong and infinitely healthy, and nothing's going to happen to you. What are you doing thinking like that? That's a foolish way to think. This confident expectation of prolonged existence. I tell you what, everybody here, you know, thinks you're going to live longer than you probably really are. Now, I read the obituaries, and I saw last night, I was going to tell you, Dad, what was his name? Burnell Skaggs died. He just liked a little bit being 100 years old, born in 1919. Well, some people get to live a long time, but most people don't. Need to understand that. Need to be reminded of that often. That's the spirit here that's being displayed. Well, I'm going to go today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell, making these long-range plans like nothing's going to interfere. Everything ought to be tentative. All of your plans, y'all listening, all of your dreams, all the things you think about, even when you're young, you need to have that tentative look at them. This is what I'd like to do. This is what I'm planning to do. But you better never get rid of this thought that should supersede all of it is that the Lord wills. Whatever the Lord wills. If you're not willing to do that, then you're not submitted to God. I mean, you're just not right with God. If you can't yield to Him for the future, then you ought to yield to Him for your past, your present, even then. You're not yielding to God. You're not trusting Him. It's a wonderful thing to trust Him and to be yielded to Him when we're looking to the future here like this. To know that He's going to watch over us. To know that He's going to guide my steps. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct thy steps. So why in the world would we bucket this? Why in the world would we just forget about it? There's no taking into account the uncertainty of life. I'm going to go and I'm going to stay a certain amount of time. This is my long-range plan. Now I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I can promise you that your plans are not going to work out the way you're planning. You set it in, set your foot down, and I'm going to do this. Mark it down. I'd be willing to, well, I don't bet, but I mean, if I was betting, I'd be willing to bet you're going to be different. Your course is going to be different. Life is uncertain. Life itself is uncertain. You may not be alive by the time the sun goes down tonight. That's how fragile life is. And yet we boast. As the next verse here says, then the boasting, 13, 16, let me see here, 16, 17, but 16, but now rejoice in your boasting. Also rejoice in your boasting. Boasting about, and we'll get to that later, but that's the idea that we're against here, that God's against. Calculating the future with confidence, with no hesitation. No hesitation. And are confident about, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna buy this. I'm gonna earn this money. I'm gonna do this. I'm going to. Now the world and a lot of preachers, nowadays these success-minded religious people, they call that a virtue. That's something you ought to cultivate. That's something you ought to teach your children to be determined, and they're gonna do this and make their plans and I mean force her through. But the Bible's condemning that, right? What matters? Without God, you're going to do this? And it's not just a little thing that you can hang on there like an ornament on a tree. Then, well, if the Lord's willing, it's not just words, if the Lord will. It's not just words. It's not just a little cliche that you can hang on to your plans to justify. That makes it all right. I'm talking bad about somebody who's been justified. You know, like that. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make this, and I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to have that. Lord willing, but that don't mean nothing to you in your heart, really. This confident expectation of worldly success and profit. I'm going to go to that city. I'm going to stay there a year. Got what I need. I got friends. Depending on the permanence of that which may be gone in any instance, I say. Depending on the permanence. See, he needs to be said, I'm going to go there. It's like, that ain't going to happen. How many people got in their car this morning, put on the shoes, got in their car, and headed somewhere, thinking I'm going to be there by a certain time? Is that an accident? Is there something happening? They end up in the hospital or the funeral instead. Those things happen all the time. They happen to everybody. It's a part of all of our life. I'm just telling you, life's full of twists and turns and unexpected changes and subtractions and additions. Things are put in your life to change the course. Everybody dreams about just having the perfect life. Everybody does. Everybody thinks, I'm going to get 18 years old, like Annie would say, almost. And then I'll get married. That's the point. I'll get married. Then I'll have me some kids. And we'll have us a nice house. And we'll have
have a good secure job, and we'll live our life for 60 or 70 years, and then we'll be old together, and we'll die holding hands. That's the way everybody figures life's going to be. Just look around you and notice a little bit how many people don't ever make it. You ever look around people and consider the fact that, you know, something happened, they lost the time. They lost the time. They were praying for this young pastor's wife up there that I'm talking about. I mean, just little children. And just starting in life and wham. Well, that's not expected. Not counting on. Well, we can't figure that in. That's why you have to trust the Lord. That's why you have to give your life into His hands and trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's what this is talking about here. It's condemning this individual idea of goals and aims and plans and dreams and ambitions without considering God, without considering the fragile life that you have, the brevity of life, without considering any of these things, the uncertainty of life. You should figure those in. You know, people try to budget and they plan their lives and they figure nowadays people don't account for what they're up to. They figure if they're within $20 of a full, with the full paycheck every week, is within $20 of meeting their bills, they're good. One flat tire, and you're upside down. One refrigerator conk out, that's it. But that's the way everybody thinks. And that's the way everybody figures their life, too. I'm going to do this. When you're young, you think you've got forever. You're not even thinking about 20 years. You know, I remember because I was that way. But this reckoning your life and your plans without God, without God, do you do that? Do you plan? Do you think? Do you imagine and dream about the future without God? Do you ever consider or wonder about what God has in store for you and what you do? Do you ever consider what God has in store for the future of others, like these little children, like these young people over here? Do you ever think about that? I do. Because I know that life is full of surprises and twists and turns. And it's not a straight line. It's not an interstate freeway from here to there. That's not the way it is. Not a thought about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not a word about working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Not a word, not a thought about laying up treasures in heaven. The whole view that this person here that we describe, the whole view that they take is secular and temporal and earthly, worldly. It's about making money. It's about going to a certain place. It's about being in a certain place here on earth. It's about doing a certain thing here on earth. It's about making money and gain here on earth. Money, gain for me. I'll get money. I'm going to go back. I'm going to stay there a year. It's about spending your time, yourself, your strength, your life for the purpose of gaining money for yourself. Without considering God about it. Not one word about God. I don't know how to drive it home any harder, but the fact that when you have those ambitions and those thoughts and dreams, and you don't consider God anything, if He intervenes, you're going to get mad at Him. If He intervenes, you're going to buck. You're going to quit church. You're going to quit thinking about God. God's just going to kick Him out of your life. Well, He ain't in your life at all anymore. He's out of your life. they would come straight to church and be just like that. I've known a lot of people like that. I've known preachers like that. I've known missionaries like that. That's all they got in their mind is gain, gain. He warned us about it, the supposing that gain is godliness. These people are going to come in and teach people that gain is godliness. Let me first turn away and say this. Gain is not godliness. Not. The grounds that on which this is condemned here. He's condemning this kind of a spirit, attitude, view, or thought about life and way of conducting your life concerning these things. Well, the absolute and uncertainty of life. Now, I've already mentioned that, but that's the grounds that God's condemning us on. How can you be so foolish as to be this way and think this way, knowing that life is so uncertain? Why are we so about our life when it is so uncertain? You go by these roads now, like going to the Papa Bluffs, you know, just before you get out to 67 on that curve, they got that sign there. Tell you how many deaths there's been on the highway this year already in this state. Y'all see that? Do you ever think when you read that? All 800 or 900, whatever it was last year, they were somebody. They were somebody, some mother, some father, some son or daughter. They were people just like you. But that stuff happens to other people, not to us. Other people have those calamities, but not us. Other people get cancer, but not us. Other people have sick children, but not us. Well, my life's going to be perfect. I got it planned out. I know how to do it. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and when I get all done, this is how it's going to be for me. Now, the Bible's really telling us here that the food is good. You better say, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. Whether I live or whether I die, I live. I shall live and do this or that. Now we're going to have to do stuff while we're living here. We got to work. We do. We do have to make some money to pay the bills, to buy the food. We do have to do that stuff. And we do have to think about how to do it. And we do have to make plans to do it. You can't just sit and not do nothing and not think about nothing and expect God to teach you. He does. That's not what he's saying here about it. He's not condemning working. He's not condemning planning. He's not condemning trying to come up with something, some way to get by. That's not what he's condemning. What he's condemning is just doing it without God and making your own plans and doing it your way and having your own thoughts and praying God yourself with your life and with the lives of those that depend on you. We're to lead people to Christ. Lead people to know the Lord. They should see him before they see us in everything that we do. But I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, just think about the uncertainty of life. By sudden stroke of fortune, a poor man can be made ready for riches just like that. We can observe that in all around us. I was reading the other day about old Bezos, whatever his name is, the Amazon guy. Started when he's 31 years old, I believe I figured out that. 31 years old. 1994 is when he started Amazon. Now, I guess this is my own work. Until he had to split it in half with his wife. But if he did that just that many years, what is that, 25 years? It's just a normal guy. Started selling books. And I remember when Amazon was an online bookstore. And I thought, I don't know. Oh, yeah. There's nothing that you can find in it. But that's what I mean. Just overnight. Bill Gates. He's the same age as I am, I think. And just bang. Nothing to riches. They can even beat on a tin can and talk a song and be rich overnight. No talent, no nothing, just fortune, if you want to call it that. Life's full of that. I mean, you can be changed up. You want to take something else, too? You can be changed from where he's at right now with being those guys. Tomorrow, he could be a poor man. It's all fragile. Out of nowhere, and suddenly, we may lose our friends and be alienated and separated from the people who are most important in our lives. You know, we talk about Job often, but think about Job. In one day, he lost everything he had, all of his children, all of his servants, everything. He went from the richest man in the East to being absolutely destitute with nothing else. In one day. That's how fragile life is. But the thing about Job was, if he was sitting there with nothing left, and everybody gone, and his wife blaming him, and he said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed him. He said, though he slay me, yet life shall come. See, that's the same idea that God's trying to get across to us here in the book of James. You need to have that attitude. Job's riches weren't what he was about. Anybody that's seen him would say, well, there's a rich man. Look at all them camels and horses and cattle and everything he's got. And 10 children. Look at him. Look at all those servants he's got. He's a rich man. But it all went away. And that wasn't what Job devil didn't even realize that. Remember, the Lord of God said, it's nothing needless to him. He's hurt, he's just hurt. Because most people will. Almost everybody will. Because they have earned that. That's theirs. They worked for that. What is this? This all of a sudden gone. This is not fair. This is wrong. The devil was so sure that Job would do the same. Give it a try. Job didn't do it. Glory to God. Set a good example for everybody that would live after him. He showed what real faith in God is. And that's what we're being exhorted about right here. Don't get this idea of it's done and not. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do what my plans are. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. I don't care what happens. That determination, that self-determination and self-will and I'm going to. Come what may. You need to realize that what that says in verse 16 of the real thing, all that kind of boasting, evil. That's what it is. Our plans may evaporate or be rendered impossible. Has that ever happened to you? You ever pour your whole life into something? It will probably happen to you if you set a lot of stock back your plan. If you put too much confidence in your plan, that's probably what's going to happen to you. If you belong to God, they may evaporate, be rendered impossible in an instant by things we may even see coming. We never see. Our hopes may be dashed, and all our prospects gone as quickly as the fog evaporates when the sun comes out in the morning. Life is a vapor. Dangers and fears may gather around us. Disgrace may settle down around us. You never know what is going to happen. never know what's going to happen in the people around you, in your family. And we're living in a time when you can be disgraced by somebody who's a saint, who just says something about you, and it's just stuck. There's people all over the place that have been destroyed by this new tea movement and stuff like that. But yeah, it's tough, buddy. What a bunch of junk. Woman in the bed with some man in his room at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then 20 or 40 years later come up saying he's basically, what in the world? How stupid can people be to believe such nonsense as that? Give me that. There's one old boy that ain't believing. I ain't following that. You can be totally lied about and destroyed. That's going to put a kink in your plan. It's going to put a kink in your future. That old boy they let out of prison last year, it's been a couple of years now, but he got his money out of the deal, but he's been in prison 40 years. I don't imagine that he planned his life to be that way. We may go from the mountaintop to the dark valley overnight, and life will give you that, I promise you. Like I've told you so many times, you know, when you fire off at the devil and get a victory, you better take cover before you get it right back. Right after the mountaintop is that valley where the demon possessed is wallowing from where you're going next. Mark it down. Figure that in your plan. Peter wanted to stay up there, remember? Us is good. He had an idea to stay up here. It's good for us to stay up here. We like this place. Camp meeting 24/7.
Hallelujah. We don't want to go back down there where the real world's at. One moment we may be basking in victory, and the next moment find ourselves in deep adversity. That's the way life operates. You kids better understand that. It's not just a happily ever after. It's like this. There's the good, and there's the bad. And you better figure there's going to be some bad. Don't make your plans as if there's not going to be any interference, anything that you're not expecting. Because there's going to be bunches of it. So you better just put it all in the hands of the Lord and say, well, Lord, let's see where we go from here. Let the Lord guide you. Ask for His guidance. Seek His guidance. Seek to stay in His will.
And then you can say, if the Lord will, I'll go, I'll do, I'll marry, I'll work. I'll get game. If the Lord will, I'll get game. If not, I'll be hopeful. The dearest things in life may be snatched away in an instant, and we're left alone and solitary without the joy that we so recently enjoyed. But bitter sorrow. We had the news this week
where some family went in a Waffle House, and I was telling the kids about it, and they come out, and somehow, who knows how it happened, but the father ran over the 3-year-old child and he died. Now, I guarantee you that a week ago they were happy and enjoying a 3-year-old like her. Now gone in a terrible disaster like that. I'm sure he didn't do it on purpose. Because they would have arrested him. They said it was an accident and it was just a terrible tragedy.
But those are the kind of things that life. You better count on you're going to make some stuff. And for a woman with a few days of sleep,
as the sparks fly upward. So this is the case. All these things, that's how it is with a life that depends upon the keeping of all those earthly things. I'm going to go, I'm going to do this, I'm going to have this, I'm going to get gain, this is my life. And these are the things that are dear to me. And if you lose any of them, you're not happy anymore. You can't be happy anymore. You can't have any joy anymore. If that's the way it is, you're in for a tough ride. You better learn this deal. You better learn to trust in God. Whatever He gives you, accept it with joy, knowing that it was God, it was His divine wisdom ordained it for you. And live with it and accept it with joy. Not with a grudge, not with bitterness, not with, I wish this had never happened. Why? Why me? Why did I have to have this in my life? When we're like that, it's because we had our plans. And we didn't really trust the Lord. We didn't say in our heart, our attitude wasn't, if the Lord will, our attitude was, this is what my life's going to be. And this is how I'm going to do. And this is the way I'm going to live. And this is what I'm going to enjoy. Because that's what the world tells you all the time. Be happy. Please yourself. Go for what pleases you. Go for what you like. Enjoy life. And God's warning is about something very different here. The reality. The reality. We're instructed to be diligent in business. And we're to expect to profit from our labor and have success in our endeavors. The Bible talks about all that. We are. We're instructed to be diligent in business. Don't be lazy. If any man won't work, he shouldn't eat. Yes, sir. Paul worked and made tents and done other things so that he wouldn't be a burden to the churches. So they wouldn't have to support him. And the money could be used for something else. But he didn't do it to be rich. He didn't do it to get gain. He did it to eat and to be able to have to give. That's what we're to work for. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor with his hands that he might have to give to him that is in need. That's why we're to work. But we work for ourselves, don't we? We work to get gain. All right, we are to do all these things while recognizing and having and being submissive to God's divine will. Can you just get that? Be diligent in your business. Work hard. Don't be lazy. Have some plans and ambition about you to do some things. Don't just be lazy in your mind and lazy in your body and have no kind of forward look. No, that ain't right. God don't mean us to be that way. But do it while you're recognizing God may change this. God may point me in a different direction. He may shove me in a different direction. He may drop something into my life that changes everything. And that'll be okay. I'll just be okay with whatever God wants. That's what it means to say, if the Lord will. Not my will, but His will be done. Just, you know, this is what I'm planning to do, but who knows? The Lord may have something else in mind. And that's good with me. It'll be fine. I ain't going to get mad. If I don't get to do this, it ain't going to make me mad. It ain't going to destroy my faith. It ain't going to make me mad at God. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be unhappy. I'm going to go right on loving life and living life and trying to be a blessing and loving God. Now that's the attitude, which is so different from this proud, selfish attitude. Put God's will above our will and be ready and willing to accept whatever changes in direction God inserts into our life. We're to nurture a dependence on God for life. How do you know you're even going to be alive tomorrow? It's God that gives you life. It's God that says, this is the day. You're done. Lord, teach us to number our days. Don't live your life as a tale that's told. We're to nurture this dependence on God for life, for health. What's the first thing you think about when you have a pain, when you don't feel good, when you know something's wrong? What's your first thing you think about? What can I take? Do I need to go to the doctor? What can I take? Well, sometimes you need something. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. What I'm talking about here is where's your first thoughts about your health? Whose hands it in? Who's got your health and your life in His control? God. I don't. The doctor don't. They don't know much of what they're doing. I'm just telling you the honest truth. Now, I've been to them. I've been with other people to them enough, and I just know, you know, they might as well put vending machines out in front and just let you buy their pills because they just give you the same three or four pills. That's all they ever do. Why not? But we trust. We trust. Why not go to the Lord? Why not trust in the Lord? Why not say, if the Lord will? In that matter, how about nurturing a dependence on God for our abilities, our guidance, and all that we plan or do? Let me hurry up here. I wanted to be short. One more thing I want to talk about. The brevity of life is not a consideration until it's too late. This person here, James chapter 4, where we're reading about, he's not considering that he may not live that year. He is fully confident that he has a year and more. He's got a year to make this money and infinity, eternity to spend it. There ain't no end in sight for him. He's not considering the brevity of life. People make their plans and they don't consider how short their life may be. Job, again, in chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. I want you to listen to what Job said. Now, you're going to listen? Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. And that ain't talking about a fence post. Y'all know what that is? It's like a Pony Express rider. It's like the mail used to be. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. You listening to what he's saying here? Life is like a vapor, a puff of smoke, or a blast of steam, and it disappears rapidly. You ever watch those old steam engines? When they blast the whistle, the steam goes out. Or when the steam pushes the piston back and forth, that steam comes out. It's gone. Did you ever notice how fast it's gone? That's a vapor. It's a puff. Well, that's how your life is. That's what your life is. Just a puff. Just a, and it's gone. That's it. Just, that's your life. It's not, on and on and on and on. It's not smoke ascending up forever and ever. It's a puff. Just a breath. And life's over.
Say, well, I don't see it that way. Well, the older you get, the more you're going to see it that way.
Life is like a journey, but it's a fast one. Swift as a post. I like the swift ships, the fast ones. That move really fast. It's like an eagle on the prey. Does the eagle just dawdle around? When the eagle gets his prey, it's like that. That's how life is. That's what he's saying to us. This is how life passes. It's just a poof, and that's it. This is what your life is. For your life is even a vapor, which appeareth for a little time. And it's gone. It's not like a slow-moving caravan across the long desert. But that's the way everybody thinks of it, isn't it? If you even think of it as having a beginning and an end, and you think of it as short, you think of it, well, no, it's a long journey. 90 years, that's a long time. No, it ain't. Is 80 years a long time, Dad? Does it seem like it from where you're at now? No. Seems like a puff. Seems like yesterday. Yeah. And that's what the Bible's telling us here. It's not like a slow-moving caravan. It's like a post or a fast rider. It's like a swift ship or an eagle that hastes to the prey. It passes very quickly. When we're young, it's a lot harder to realize the brevity of life. And the older we get, the more this solemn thought grips our minds. When you're young, looking 20 years ahead seems like a long time. But looking back 20 years, it seems like yesterday. And that is a fact. I know you can't understand that when you're young. It's just one of those things that you can't get a hold of when you're young. But let me tell you how it happens. It's a very profound thing when you suddenly, and that's the way it always happens, all of a sudden, you realize, I'm old. Wow. I mean, there's a profound moment in your life when this dawns upon you. Life is like a post. It's like a swift ship. It's over before you know it. You're just living and living and living and then bam. Uh-oh. I mean, whoa. I remember reading Michael Pearl here. He had a heart attack a few years ago. He was about 60 years old, and he said it was just that moment. It dawned upon him that at the very best, he probably had 10 years left. Very finite. That put limits on it. That put it in a space. Got to get busy. I've just got this much time. I've got to do more than I've done in all these other years, fiddling around and peddling around, thinking I was doing all this great stuff. And it's a profound thing when you suddenly realize how short life is, and that's what happens suddenly. It's like a shock because we haven't been considering things and reckoning with time the way God is instructing us to here. We've been just going about our business, living life, feeling good, plenty of strength, looking to tomorrow, planning out years ahead and thinking, boy, by that time I'll have this and that. And then all of a sudden, wham, you realize, about done. All the creation speaks to us so loudly about how brief our life is. And how insignificant our earthly residence is. You listening to me? Think here a minute. The same sun, do you ever look at the sun and think about this? The same sun that you look at, that shines on you, that you feel the warmth of, that lights the world you see. That sun. Everybody who's ever lived on this earth has looked at that same sun. It ain't a different sun. It's the same sun. This stood still for Joshua. It's the same sun that shined in the Garden of Eden. It's the same sun. You look at it for your little piddly time on earth, but everybody's seen it. The whole creation. It's telling you every day, you are nothing. When I look at the heavens, David said, the moon, the stars, and the sun which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Wow. I'm just so little. My life is so nothing. The sun, they're gone. Everybody that's ever lived has seen it and they're gone. And I'll be gone soon also. That's what it says to me. The same moon. Do you ever look at the moon at night? I've said something to her here a while back. We was going home in a big full moon. We have all these super moons every other month. Now we got a super moon. That needs to explain some things to me. Never heard of that, but I know we got super moons now. Full moon. Did you ever look at the moon and realize all the Indians, everybody that's ever lived, back in the Middle Ages, you know, anybody you want to name, anybody you ever heard of in history, when Jesus walked this earth, he looked at that moon just like you're seeing it right now. It's been there all this time, been right in the same place. It shines the same way, goes through the same cycles as for thousands and thousands of years. And it's saying to you, how long are you going to live here? What about your plan you're making? What are you going to do tomorrow, next year? Y'all get it?
The whole creation just said, and the stars, the constellations in the stars. Man, everybody's always known and seen them and looked at them. Everybody who's ever lived on the earth. You ever go up and down these roads and walk in the woods and realize that you're not the first one? That you're not going to be the last one? That people have walked these woods and lived here for thousands of years before you ever set foot in them. And there'll be people walking them after you're gone. It ought to make you realize, man, Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to redeem the time. Teach me, Lord, that my life is very brief. I mean, it's just a puff. It's the flesh, and that's it. The stars, the blue sky, the fluffy clouds, the thunder and lightning, the cool breezes, all these have been the exact same experience of every person who's ever been born on this earth. All these are testaments every moment that we live that we will be gone soon. The wind's going to blow after I'm gone. The sun's going to shine after I'm gone. I don't know. I guess you got to get a little older before you really ponder these things. I guess some of you, this sounds kind of, oh my, a kindergartner could come up with that. Well, you'll understand by and by. Maybe. They're a testament to every moment we live that we're going to be gone soon, and we also going to do like David. He said, I'll go the way of all the earth. Listen to me while I tell you some last things here. Considering the fact that life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, we should view our plans and hopes and joys and sorrows in a different light than those who do all this without even considering God. How can you call yourself a Christian? Make this, I'm going to succeed, I'm going to accomplish this, without even considering God might put you somewhere else. Don't forget. And in your plans, always reckon with the fact that God has a will. You understand there's a God in heaven, and He has a will. And He's the only potentate. He's the Almighty God. And if He has a will, then it ought to count with you, since you're such a little piddly thing that's so insignificant in the whole scheme of everything. It ought to matter to you that God has a will. He has a will for your life. He has a say in what you do, where you go, what you dream about. God ought to be included in that. He's the King of the universe. He has a will for everything. He's not disconnected and just letting everything free will and allowing whatever happens to happen. That's not God. He has a will. That's why you're to say, if the Lord will. According to what God wants, what God purposes, I'm willing to yield to God's all-wise, all-seeing plan, since I'm half-blind, and I'm only seeing through a glass darkly, and I only know in part, I'm willing to yield to Him if He changes my plans, if He makes my life into something that I didn't want. I'm willing to accept it, because God knows best. Don't make plans or entertain dreams without considering what God's will is in the matter. Especially you young people, better listen to that. Always make it a first priority to consider and pray about whether it is in accord with the will of God or not. And crucify old self. Mortify your members which are on earth in that matter. You got to make those decisions and those discernments without your selfishness entering in and siding with you. And never imagine that God or never imagine that God don't care about your life, or that your life and your plans are too insignificant for God to be interested in. And do not rejoice in your successes without giving God the glory and honor for it first and foremost. That verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. It's declared to be evil when we go our ways and conduct our business and get gain and prosper and then boast about what we've accomplished by our own devices. I'm a self-made man. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I've heard people say that. And I've heard people, even when they were reminded that God is the one that gives all things, they said, no, God didn't do it. I did it. I've heard them saying that. Evil. That's what that is. That's evil. That's evil like murdering people. That's evil like being doing the most evil things you can imagine. God put it in those terms. That's evil. Before others see our success and prosperity, they should always see our God before us. That's right. You understand what I'm saying right there? They should be able to see clearly that we did put God first in our life before we ever had anything. You know, it's like somebody thanking God for winning the lottery. No, no. That does not compute. God's going to help you to win the lottery. I remember somebody talking about how they went to one of the casinos down there and they prayed before they went in for God to help them to win. And they won. Boy, they won. That's praising God because he helped them to win gambling in a liquor-saturated, ungodly casino. No, that's not the way we're supposed to do it, see. People need to know that you walk with God, you love God, you're yielded to God when you're poorer than a church mouse. And then if there is something that falls good for you and you praise God for it, then they know. Yeah, that, you know. They've seen God before? Before the success. Before the prosperity. Before the blessing. You're going in a drunken place to gamble, and God's not with you. No, sir. And you're not walking with God. God's got nothing to do with it. That's the person who says, I'm going to go there and get gain. Did they go there to lose? Well, of course not. They went there to get gain, didn't they? Y'all understand this, don't? Life is really short. Shorter than you imagine. Need to live it for God. Let's stand. Need to always follow the Lord, not and be led by the Spirit, not be out in front and then pulling God, you know, say, God, are you there? Are you with me now? Always looking back to see if God's with you. That's upside down. Seek the will of God, if the Lord will. There's a lot of things we absolutely know that the Lord does not will. Don't do them. Don't go there. Don't make your plans. Don't make your decisions. Don't choose those paths. Don't say, I'm going there, when you know God ain't going to lead you there. Amen. How you know the will of God? Well, how about reading the Word of God? How about having the mind of Christ through reading the Word of God? And then you'll have some discernment about the will of God. It's not a feeling. It's not how, you know, you don't just sit around and find the will of God by saying, well, I just feel like the Lord wants me to do this. I got this. No. That's trusting in your heart. What does the Bible say about somebody trusteth in his own heart? He's a fool. You trust in what the Word of God says. You get to know God through the Word of God. You get to know Him. There's people that I know so well that I know. If I'd ask them something, I know what they'd say. Do you know God that well? Do you know God well enough to know what he would say if you went to him and said, Lord, I'm going to do this and that. Well, you should. Amen. Bow with me. We have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you for this message. It's a reminder to us about life and how short it is, how we need to live it for you, how we need to acknowledge you in all our ways, how we need to be led and not try to run out in front and do all of this ourselves. Lord, we're just too ignorant and we're too full of foolishness to be able to take care of ourselves. We need you. We need you to work in our lives and guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, to know you better through your word. And Lord, I pray everybody here would take this to heart, and especially the young folks here. Please help them as they start out in life not to shipwreck down the way because they're so firm in their plans and dreams and hopes and ambitions. And Lord, help them to just yield their life to you. Let you pilot their ship and let you navigate their life through this short little journey that we got here. Please go with us. Help us at the nursing home. Be a blessing this afternoon. Or watch over everybody going home here in Jesus' name. Amen.